Evening. It is good to be back. It's good to see you all, actually. It's lovely to be back in the building. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long, long time. Hello to those who are watching on YouTube or on the website. It's great to see you all in person. I am going to be recording the first part of this for the website, so it'll be going on a bit later on. We're going to have a time of prayer. I'll just say a few words and do the sort of Wednesday devotional that we've been doing online recently. We'll have a time of prayer, and then we'll have a bit of a chat later on about how and when we think about reopening and meeting again together. Before we do that, perhaps Mike, would you open in prayer for us?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us and give us this opportunity to meet as your family in this place. Thank you again, Lord, to remind the people round about that you have a church in this town. We just pray as you uplift and encourage our hearts and our time together, but especially with you, to make this town a witness and testimony to all those that pass by, that, Lord, they might want to come and join us in seeking the face of our God. Bless those who are able to be with us this night, and grandfather, that we will all know your touch upon our lives, your good, especially for your glory. We ask it through the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, we were supposed to have had a song on our Sunday morning service last week and managed to get the wrong song. I announced one song, sent you the words to the same song, and then we managed to get the wrong song on the actual service. So we're not strictly not allowed to sing, but I think it's probably a good idea that we don't tonight, just so we know where we are. So we just sit and listen to the song that we should have sang last Sunday morning, which is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It's called 10,000 Reasons. It's by Matt Redman.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord.
my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Come, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Worship your holy name, Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never.
For the last week or so, I've just been keeping my eye out for guidance and guidelines as they appear in the media and on the government website and through the EMW and other places. It's been confusing because the Scottish guidance places of worship came out at the end of last week, and it's completely different to the English guidance of places of worship. And the Welsh guidance came out, I think it was on Monday this week, and that's completely different again. Now, it is fair to say that we've been given a fair bit of leeway in Wales. They've given us a lot of discretion as to what we can do. The overriding thing is that we need to make sure it's safe. And really, I suppose, that's the ultimate aim of all guidelines, isn't it? The aim of the guidelines around coronavirus has been to save lives, to prevent the NHS getting overwhelmed and to keep us all safe. And ultimately, that's the aim of God's guidelines, isn't it? Is to steer us away from things that can harm us, from living a life that is harmful, from living a life that's sinful, and pointing us in the direction of the way we should go, pointing us in the direction of God, and pointing us away from hell and towards eternal life in Jesus. It's the whole point of the whole of the Scriptures, really. That's what's declared to us from Genesis through to Revelation. I'd just like us to think for a few minutes about some words we read in Psalm 119. And this is verses 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony I delight as much in all as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. But how can anyone live a life that's pleasing to God? How can anyone live a life that brings us close to God? How can anyone live a life that is worthy to stand in God's presence? Well, by living according to God's word. Where is God's word? Well, God's word is in the Bible. It's in this book. And if anyone tells you that they have a word from God that doesn't conform to what it says in the Bible, then it's not a word from God. I'm sorry, but it's not. What does the psalmist say? In order to live a life that's pleasing to God, he wants to live it with his whole heart. And he asks that God doesn't let him wander. Well, how can that happen? How can you remain faithful? Well, again, by looking at what God says in his word. And he says here that he stores it up. He learns it. He hides it in his heart. He asks God to teach him. In other words, he's teachable. He allows God to teach him. He declares it. He teaches other people God's word. He delights in it, and his desire is to live by it. He meditates on it. He doesn't just read it like yesterday's newspaper, as he thinks about it. He lets it penetrate his heart and into his life. He fixes his eyes on God. And he asks that he may not forget God's word, that he remembers it, that he steeps himself in it, that he points his whole life and heart and being towards living a life that is pleasing to God. Well, can anyone be saved by living a life according to the law? Well, actually, yes, they can, but only if they keep it absolutely perfectly. But the Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We all fall short. None of us can live it perfectly. That's God's standard, and all of us kind of don't even reach that far. That's God's standard, and we don't come anywhere near it. Only one person ever completely lived according to the law. Only one person can stand in the gap and represent us before God. Only one person can take his righteousness and wrap it around us and clothe us so that we can be acceptable in God's sight. Now, I had an opportunity on Twitter today, something that didn't come along very often. Someone put up a question on Twitter. If you were standing before God at the gates of heaven, what reason would you give him to let you in? What reason would you give him to let you in? Okay, if I throw that question out for a minute, what reason would you give God to let you in?
Jesus,
yeah, okay. Well, it was a golden opportunity and I couldn't turn it down really, so I had to say, not because of anything I've done, but because of the righteousness of your son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary. Three people liked that this afternoon. I probably get a load of abuse later. I usually find if I put something like that on Twitter, yeah, it gets a load of abuse. But the only way to come to God is through Jesus Christ. But now, our lives are daily to be more like his. How can they become so? Well, by living according to his word. Psalm 19 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's word, we see his moral character, his standards declared. And in his son, we see his likeness. And in him, we are transformed more and more and more every day into his likeness until one day we are conformed to his likeness forever. But how? By following God's word with a whole heart. There's a song that we used to sing when we were younger, without my whole heart, I will praise you, holding nothing back. By being taught and being teachable, by assimilating it, by letting it sink in, by declaring it to other people, by meditating on it, and by fixing our eyes on Jesus, and ultimately by doing God's word and not just hearing of it. And how can we do that? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who applies that to our lives and works in us day by day. Well, we're often perplexed, aren't we, as to where we could go, how we should go, what we should do. But God's word says very clearly, your word, Psalm 119 again, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just read a couple of words. It's become a bit of a tradition now, isn't it? Read a couple of words from our friend Mr. Calvin. He says this, God, in order to bring the whole human race under the same condemnation, holds forth to all, without exception, a mirror of his deity in his works. Another and better help must be given to guide us properly to God as a creator. Not in vain, therefore, he added the light of his word in order that he might make himself known unto salvation and bestowed the privilege on those whom he was pleased to bring into nearer and more familiar relation to himself. He declares himself to everyone through creation, but he declares himself to us through his word, and he points us in the direction of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to say goodbye to the people who are watching online now. We're going to go on and have a prayer time. Have a good week. Bye.